Good evening, Jake. Thank you so much. You're an amazing person. You bring me in every Monday night. Appreciate that very, very much. We all appreciate all the work you do for us. Thank you so much. As we begin, we always begin with Zecher Lilu Nishmas, Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh, May his Neshama have an Aliyah, and we thank our sponsor for his generosity in dedicating the shir in his honor. This week we have a beautiful parasha, Parashas Tetzaveh. We learned about the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Very beautiful wardrobe for the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hediot, the four garments of the Kohen Hediot, the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. And every little detail of the garments is filled with symbolism, with ethics, mussar, and halacha. I'd like to focus now on two of the garments, and perhaps see if we can find a relationship between the two, namely the choshen and the ephod. Now, let's just take a step back before we discuss these two, and let's take note that basically each one of the garments is independent. There are the mechnasayim, which will loosely translate as the trousers, and then there is the tzoynes, the tunic, the upper portion of the body, which really wasn't the upper portion, that covers the entire body. The shirt, we'll call it loosely the shirt, that covers the chest and goes all the way down as well. And then there's the belt, and there's the hat, the mikvaos, or the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol. Basically, each one of these garments is independent. In fact, the proof they're independent is there's a discussion as to which garment do the Kohanim put on first. Okay, then the things which go on above, there is, you know, the avnet. You can't put the avnet on the belt until after both the mechnasayim and the kesoynes. The me'il has to be put on above the garment. It fits. Is independent, but what's very interesting is there are two garments that can only be worn together. Each one needs the other. Each one cannot stand on its own. And that refers to, we're referring to the ephod and the choshen. The ephod was a garment that was worn primarily on the back of the body. It covered the back portion of the body. It folded over just slightly in the front of the body. There were no shoulder. There was no inserts to put one's arm to keep it on the body. The only way it can be fastened to the body was from the sides, where it connected to the choshen, and there were shoulder straps which came over the shoulders, connecting it to the choshen. So in essence, the choshen is what fastened the ephod on the body. The choshen couldn't stand for 1 second. The choshen was completely suspended, had no connection to the body almost. It was completely suspended by the ephod. So it's very interesting that each one of these two garments could not possibly remain on the Kohen Gadol without the other. The Ne'il is independent. The Nechnasayim are independent. The Kesoynes is independent. The Fit is independent. The Mitznefes is independent. But the Ephod? The Ephod doesn't stand a chance without the Choshen. And the Choshen, even though it had the 12 beautiful stones and had within the Urim, the Tumim, the Shem Hashem, even with the Shem Hashem, it couldn't stand by itself unless it was fastened to the ephod. These two garments were a team. They're a pair. They can't survive by themselves. They need each other. That's our point of introduction, at least one point of introduction. Now I want to go to another piece of information, which is a description of what exactly the ephod was. Now there's a Rashi, and this Rashi comes with a legend. I don't remember where I saw this. I remember seeing this legend. Let me first read to you the Rashi, and then I'll tell you the legend. And the Rashi tells us, in the beginning of Tetzaveh, discusses what exactly, the very beginning of the parasha, what exactly did the begadim look like? And it would seem to read through Rashi in the beginning of the parasha, Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Vav, the Osuli Ephod, the most difficult garment to define, to put your finger on, is the Ephod. And Rashi there, towards the beginning, writes a very, very long Rashi, Ha Ephod Osui, it was made, Kemin Sinor Shel Noshen, an apron that was worn exclusively by women, Roich Vois, who ride horses. The choygeroysai me'achoy rav, it was draped upon their body from behind, keneged liboy, opposite the heart, lemata me'atsi rav, lower than the elbows, rachvoy kividas reichev ga'aboy, it goes on to give you some more dimensions, and it goes all the way down to the ankles. It almost sounds like it's a cape, some form of cape which is worn by women who ride forces. There's a legend that Rashi, when he was learning this sugya, had difficulty in comprehending what exactly the aphoid looked like. And as he was thinking and contemplating and analyzing the various sources, suddenly in his vicinity, a woman came down. I don't know if it was the street, the field. In his vicinity, there was a woman riding a horse, galloping in front of Rashi or in that area. And he saw from the distance this woman with this garment that was commonly worn in his time, draped around the back of her body. And that inspired Rashi to achieve clarity in what is the meaning, the depiction of what the aphoid, what it was, what it looks like. And it's a very fascinating story in and of itself, that Hashkocha brought this Rashi, the Hashem helped Rashi. The Hashkocha, nothing is a coincidence. As Rashi was delving into the issue, Hashem provided Rashi with a multimedia presentation to see exactly what it looked like or what it resembled. That's the legend. And Rashi doesn't tell us the story here in this particular Rashi, but Rashi tells us that it was a sinar shel noshim harechavay susim. A very fascinating interpretation, because you know we would right away be a bit surprised, as we all know the halacha is that it is forbidden for a man to wear clothing of a woman. Lo yilvash ish simlas ish. A man may not, under any condition, wear the clothing of a woman. And likewise, a woman may not wear the clothing of a man. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Yet, when the Kohen Gadol, when he was dressed in the Shemayin of Begadim, he wore a garment that very much resembled a garment that was designated for a woman. When a woman rides horses. And yet, this is what the Torah says. Obviously, this is what it's supposed to be. This is not a garment of a woman, obviously, but it's interesting that Rashi describes it in this fashion. And that right away triggers some interesting ideas that we have to delve into. Number one, it is a garment of a woman. Number two, it is associated with horses. Now, we know of a woman who sang to Hashem a pasuk that relates to a horse. Miriam, after Kriyas Yamsuf, after listening to the men sing Oz Yashir Moshe Uvenei Yisrael Zashir Hazois LaHashem V'yim Relemar, they sang a beautiful elaborate shira. And the first pasuk of the shira was a shira LaHashem Ki go'o go'o, Hashem, you are exalted, beyond exalted. Sus v'roichvay, the horse and its rider, Ramavaya, you cast into the sea. And then Moshe v'nei Yisrael went on for many psukim, singing praise, beautiful eloquence, and concepts, ideas that are beyond our comprehension to give praise to Hashem. When the men concluded the shira, Miriam, she gathered the women, she took out the drums, the toif, and she sang. And the Torah only records one pasuk. Ashir la Hashem, ki go'o go'o sus v'roichvoy ramavayam. She sang that first pasuk, pasuk of the horse and its rider. It's also interesting that it says in the pasuk, Vatan lohem Miriam. We would expect Miriam, when she brought out the women, brought the women together, grammatically correct, it would have been grammatically correct for her to say Vatan lohen, with a nun, being that she was simply understood that she was singing with the women. Yet it says Vatan lohem, with the men, as if she was singing to the men. What does that mean? There are many, many answers, there are many interpretations, but I want to just suggest an idea that I think the best way to express the idea is to look what Rashi says on the pasuk of a shira la Hashem, ki go'o go'o. Beginning of the shira, Rashi says, what does it mean, go'o go'o, the repetition of these two words? So Rashi here says, Dover acher, I'm reading the Rashi in the Shalach Perik Tezvav, first pasuk of the shira, pasuk aleph, kitagumo, dover acher, bo hakethel loima, the repetition of these two words is here to teach us, she'osa dover, that Hashem did something, she'i efshor lebosar v'dom la'asais, kishuhu nilchom b'chaveroi u'miskabro lov, ma'pilu minasus. Ordinarily, when one man fights with another man, he's only able to take the person, to fight with the person, not with the horse. The kan here, sus v'roichvoi ramavayam. The chol, any time we have a situation where she'i efshor la'asais, you can't do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. You need a partner. And yet Hashem did it himself. When we have a situation where a person, we acknowledge that by us human beings, no single person can do this by himself. When it comes to human beings, you can't do it alone. You need help. Yet Hashem who is Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He can do the impossible. He can do it by himself. But human beings, a human being cannot do this by himself, to take down the horse and the rider in one shot. It's interesting that Miriam, when she sang Shir, she sang this very same pasuk. And Al Derech Drush, she said this to the men, as if to say that in this matter, we're partners. Because just as this example expresses the idea that one person can't do it by himself, marriage, husband and wife, each one alone cannot achieve the results of raising a family, of bringing up bias, be sure. Of course, there are exceptions when there are difficult situations, but generally, there is a team. A husband and a wife, and they together participate, they come together, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Going back to the choshen and the ephod. The ephod is a garment of a woman. The choshen is the choshen ha-mishpat, judgment. Judgment is miyuchot for men. Havu lechem anoshim chachamim nevoinim. The Sanhedrin are men, the men who, time of Torah, it was their duty to delve into the secrets of the Torah to serve as the judges, not to say that women are not wise, of course, but it's the role of the men to sit on the Sanhedrin. It's the Choshen HaMishpat. It represents judgment, represents clarity, as Rashi explains. The Choshen is the garment of the man. The Ephod is the garment of the woman. Each one cannot stand on its own. They come together as a team. Each one reinforces the other. It's not a coincidence that on each one of these garments we find the stones, the Avnei Shoyan on the ephod, and the 12 precious stones on the Choshen, which upon which is etched the names of the children. The father on his garment, the Choshen, he has on his heart the names of his children. The mother, the garment of the woman, she carries on her shoulders the names of her children. Kasher Yisa Ho'oimein Es Hayoimik, the pasuk says. Like the nurse carries a child. The mother, she has the names of her children on her shoulders. She carries them. And the father, the husband, he carries the names of his children upon his heart. But they're the same children. They join together. Each one reinforces the other. When Adam was created, Chazal tells us, according to one opinion, Adam was created alone. When Adam realized he needed a partner, Hashem put him to sleep. And Ochar Vakedem Tzirasani, the back portion of Adam's body was transformed into Chava. The back portion, just like the ephod is a garment that covers the back portion. This is the garment, this represents a person, spouse, wife, the noshim, tzidkaniyos, the choshen represents the men, the husband. Together, they're a team. Each one complements the other. Each one carries the responsibility for their children in their unique way. They come together. They support one another. They reinforce one another. Each one cannot stand without the other. Kohen Gadol was Aaron HaKohen. Aaron was Oyev Sholem, the Roidev Sholem. He brought the Ish and the Isha together. Chazal said that when Aaron HaKohen died, there were 80,000 children who were named Aaron that accompanied him to his final resting place. Those 80,000 children represented 80,000 marriages that he saved, counseled. And they stayed together. They had a child. The parents named their child Aaron. Aaron HaKohen, he wore the ephod on the front, the choshen on the front, the ephod on the back. He was mechaber, the ish with the isha. When the ish and the isha come together, the shem Hashem is complete. The ish we know gives the letter yud. The ish has the letter hey. Ki b'ko Hashem tzur alamin in the choshen. Together, being supported by the ephod, is the Shem Hashem, the Urim V'Tumim, the combination of the Choshen and the Mishpat. Ocha V'Kedem, the front and the back, the garment of the Isha who rides on the horse, and the Isha with Miriam speaking to the men. Ashir la Hashem ki go'oi go'oh, just as the men themselves said, Ashir la Hashem ki go'oi go'oh. Go'oi go'oh Rashi, something that you can't do alone. You need someone else to see Hashem do by himself. This is ki go'oi go'oh. We dwell upon a recognition. You can't do it yourself. You have a part. Ish v'isha sholem b'nehem, shechina b'nehem. The shechina was resting on Aaron HaKohen because he mastered the koyach of bringing together Shalom in the bayis of Klal Yisrael. Now you all merit that this lesson carries some weight, some special influence upon us, that we also should work to our best to only be marbe shalom between Adam l'chaveray, between ish l'ishtai, to be involved in helping other people find their shleimus, find their better heart, and witness only good things, only joy, blessing, and success in our lives. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week, and all the best to everyone here. Good night.